And we are back. Couch Company Podcast. I'm John. With me, as always, Tyler.
Ahoy, John.
Ahoy, John.
Ahoy, John.
Check.
Check.
Matey. Checkmate.
Hi. Well, didn't finish it yet.
Didn't finish what?
The full year.
To checkmate you?
To checkmate you, yeah.
I feel like chess is maybe the best analogy of all time.
Of
like,
what?
I just think you can relate it to anything. Like, everything's a chess match. Now, if my friends listen to this, they'd be laughing because there's like a meme in our friend group. I was hammered this one time.
Okay.
As most of my stories go.
Okay.
And we were watching in the basement of the X research department, actually. We were watching a movie. Which movie was it? Casino. Robert De Niro.
Okay.
That's a Scorsese film, right? Anyways, we're watching Casino and... Oh, was it Casino? It was something. I thought it was Casino. Anyways, I was freaking out because there was all these convoluted plot things happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was describing The Departed, though. Because that's a very Departed thing. Because Casino is like great. I love that movie, but I don't think it's like super complex.
I've never seen it, so yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You should watch it. You got to watch all those mob movies. Those are like my favorite movies.
We can circle back to that, but continue.
Anyways, I feel like I was describing The Departed because that was like, makes the most sense. Anyways, I was on the couch like rolling around being like, it's a chess game, dude. It's a chess game. I was like freaking out.
Yeah.
Calling it a chess game because if you've ever seen The Departed, that is exactly what it is. People are making moves. You don't see anything coming.
Yes.
The elevator scene. The elevator scene. That's all I got to say.
You like that a lot.
I do. Some of the things I've noticed that. So I like making lists, right? And The Departed's my favorite movie of all time. Although I've been thinking about it because Good Will Hunting's up there. I really like that movie.
Never seen that either.
Yeah, well, whatever. Anyways, the thing that I've noticed is that these shows or movies that have these like huge plot twists,
yeah.
I just resonate towards because I value experience quite a bit. And when I watched The Departed the first time, or like Seven, like some of my top movies, I just had these amazing experiences watching it. So like I did watch The Departed with my good friend and we were just holding each other. We're like, holy fuck, like what is going on? Like every plot twist. And it's like at the end of that movie, it's like boom, 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 plot twist. Like you don't see any of it coming. It's crazy. And it's nerve wracking. And then I told the story about Seven all the time where I was like, it was 2 a.m. and I'm just like freaking out because it's so suspenseful. Anyway, so I found that I value, when it comes to like movies and TV shows, I value experience a lot. I weight that highly. Much like in video games, I weight story and characters highly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I guess that kind of relates to video games too, because like Final Fantasy 16, for example, very high in the experience category.
Yeah.
Where I was just like, oh man. It was like I was watching Toonami again, man. 12 years old. Dragon Ball Z, Toonami, Saturday nights, if you know, you know. That was a great time. It was just testosterone.
I don't know, but I will take your...
Okay, imagine Darkwing Duck.
Yeah.
But cooler.
Mm. Okay, no, continue.
I'm describing it.
I know, I'm just... I can't...
Imagine a cooler character.
It's hard to...
You never remember Darkwing Duck.
I really do.
Yeah.
I think if I started watching it again...
Come back?
Yeah, it would flood back a little bit.
Yeah. Anyways, what was I even going on that tangent?
Something about casino.
Chess games.
Chess games, yeah.
So I relate everything like to chess. I think you can. I don't actually do that, but I think you can relate everything to chess.
Relationships.
Oh my God. Relationships are an obvious chess game.
Yeah.
Now, see, I'm so much of a nerd that like me and my buddies relate everything to League.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like,
but if League is then related to chess...
Well, I think League is better than chess because it's more complex.
Well,
it is. Think about it. You're multiplying. There's five players on a team, so there's a team component to it, which I always enjoy because that just adds exponential development to the possibilities.
Fair, sure.
Right?
Yep.
Like a grandmaster chess player has complete autonomy over his moves and control over his moves, right?
That's interesting. I wonder if that's true because yes, over his moves, but technically his opponent would influence how those moves are being. So I would say it's a two person
thing. The best League player in the world or anything. I mean, you can football player, like, you can't win it by yourself. There is a reliance on people at a different skill level than yourself, and a coordination factor that is put into
the equation. So the build-up was chess, but that was actually just a gateway to league for you to be able to talk about league and how everything is.
Well, think about it, dude. I believe that, of course, there's like a balance, but the most coordinated team, maybe their skill level individually is not as high against like super high skill level players, but they're not coordinated.
But the coordination
makes a huge impact.
It makes up for it. Supplements.
Now, of course, there's a balance. Like, if you have the most coordinated bronze team of all time, they're not going to beat five random pros. But somewhere on the scale, it's like, okay, five really coordinated diamond players that have been playing since high school might beat five random challenger players.
Challenger being higher than diamond.
Challenger is the highest rank. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Everyone knows that.
Interesting. Well, yeah. Sure.
I don't know what I was saying.
So your friends and you always like put life on a league.
On a league glasses, basis. You know, like we talk about early lens. Game, ganking.
Yeah.
CS.
Well, I feel like ganking is done in private, but continue.
You can gank in private, but ganking can be, you know, a lot of different variables.
Interesting. Huh.
Because a gank, as everyone knows, is the jungler influence the laning phase. Now, traditionally in League, you know, you have, well, it depends what lane you're in. The top and mid, it's a 1v1, you and your opponent. Bottom lane, it's a 2v2. But the X factor, if you will, is the jungler. Because the jungler is in the jungle, obviously.
It's what he
Nobody
does.
Can see them. Unless, so that is going to influence.
The other jungler is in there.
Well, yeah, unless you have vision on them.
Yeah.
But that's where the mind games begin. Because if you can see the jungler, he doesn't know you can see him, then you bait him out.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing. See how there's layers?
Yeah.
It's like an onion.
Yes.
Layers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So ganking is a pretty powerful metaphor for a variable that you're not expecting that can influence the result of something.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I bought this house, and I was ganked into thinking it was a good investment.
You got permaganked.
Yeah.
He lived. You didn't even get ganked. You got ganked. TP'd. Top healing came down. He TP'd.
Yeah.
Into a deep ward.
Toilet papered me all over. And
yeah. Teleport.
Teleported me back. To.
And then you had to use toilet paper to wipe up the remains. But
gross.
So see, there's a lot of
yeah.
Flexibility.
So that was the.
You're like 0-10 coming back to lane. And the thing about League 2 that actually applies, it's very snowball-y.
Yeah.
Exponential game. So the more you get behind, the harder it is to dig out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're like in debt, for example,
like
right?
Like life, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I'm
see,
starting
in chess,
to see it.
Well, I guess chess is kind of snowball-y too. Because like, the worse position you're in, the harder it is to dig out of that, right? Like, you have limited options, especially if you're down pieces. That's when it really gets bad. But what I will say in chess is, your pieces will always be able to do the same action. Whereas in League, like your literal damage will be, output will be less because you don't have as much gold.
Right.
So it's like, you know what I mean? So it gets really challenging.
Sure.
But that's when you got to get creative.
And okay, so you need to get creative. Life's got you down.
Yeah.
Your gold supply is dwindling. Pull that back into life. What are we talking?
Okay, so
robbing a bank
in league, it's like when you're behind, you have to get creative, and there has to be coordination with the team because if you're going up against the opponent 1-on-1, you're just going to lose just based on the stats.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are exceptions where there are specific champions where you need to have a good understanding of what your spikes are. So when you complete a whole item, the power level is much higher than having just components, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where you're spiking. And then you can start picking fights on timings. So that's really important too. How does that apply to life, you might ask?
Yeah.
So that's a great question.
You're part of the 99%.
Yeah.
That 1% snowballing away.
Yeah.
How do you get up there?
Well, you got to chip away at it.
Chip away.
You got to chip away at it. You got to make smart moves, right? So when you're behind, you can't be as aggressive, I would say. You can't be as aggressive.
Okay.
Okay? Like, you got to make financially sound... I'm assuming we're talking about financials.
Yeah, sure. What else is there?
You got to make financially sound decisions. So, like, for example, if you're trying to pay off loans or something, right?
Uh-huh.
You got to chip away at that first before you can make a risky move and like an investment or something like that.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Although there is a theory that, not a theory, this is just math. It's like if you have a small loan, like 3-4%, I don't even know how much personal loans are. You're actually better off paying them
higher than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would be like a really small percentage loan?
I guess it depends on how much you get out. Like right. If you get like tens of thousands of dollars out, you're looking at like 9 to 13%.
Jesus Christ. Well, anyways, if it's like a small percentage, you're better off paying the minimum and then putting the money.
That might be a lie. It might be closer to 6, but continue. Sorry.
You're better paying the minimum and putting all of your money into like broad index funds. Because mm-hmm. traditionally the market pays out like 10% or something, like the S&P 500.
Yeah.
And so you're actually just getting more money doing that you're losing.
And it just depends on the situation and stuff like that. So for instance, like whenever we, you know, got our money taken, we had to pull a personal loan out.
Yeah.
Just because we needed like cash quick.
Right,
and
right.
It's just like that's a
yeah, it's all certain. Like you got ganked.
Got ganked again.
Got ganked.
Double gank.
Double gank.
I got ganked by my own teammate.
But here's what that is. Ready for this? Yeah. So you pull out a personal loan.
Yeah.
Here's what you're doing. So as an AD carry, it's very important that I have gold. Like uh-huh. traditionally, AD carries get probably most of the gold because they have the highest damage output.
Sure.
So that's like you.
Yeah.
Your personal loan is you're taxing your jungler now. So you go to your jungler to get the loan. Now, what does that mean for your team? Your jungler has less gold. Mm-hmm. So that's actually going to negatively impact your team in a way. But what you're doing is you're transferring this gold income directly to the AD carry so that you can hopefully get a spike. And in subsequent fights, he can actually output enough damage to maybe win.
You're just putting all your eggs in one basket at that point.
Like it's tough for junglers because like as a jungler, you're super weak. I mean, that's the life of a jungler. But that's when you got to get creative. Like, how can I have a engage where we have the advantage, we catch them off guard, we can get damage out before they can react, things like that.
It's gotta be sneaky.
That's your loan.
Sneaky peeky. that's the loan. That's okay. Loan. Great. Well, this is good start.
There's a chance none of this makes sense, but in my head it does.
So it makes sense to somebody. People that like League of Legends, at least.
They're probably saying, well, no, the League of Legends community is the most toxic. They're saying you're trash. This guy's probably iron. Which I'm not.
What are you? Diamond?
Gold.
Gold?
Gold right now. I haven't played in a long time. Tekken has ruined my league career.
That's kind of awesome and sad at the same time.
The guy we were just looking at, what's his name?
Phidix. P-H-I-D-X. Is that who you're talking about?
Phidix. That's nice. Phidix. It.
P-H-I. So capital P-H-I, capital D, capital X.
Yeah, but that's not how you say it.
Phidix.
I think it's like you say the letters.
Phidix.
Yeah, Phidix.
So what it is?
Phidix. Phidix.
Phidix.
I think that's how you pronounce it. Right. Anyways.
Phidix.
He was a league player. Apparently. He was a league player.
Yeah.
And now.
He's found a better game. Yeah.
I didn't say that.
He found something that was a challenge. He you know.
Come on.
League
come on.
Is.
Come on.
It's more
this is my first Tekken game ever, and I'm literally at the 50 percentile. How is that challenging?
Well, we're at 48.
We're right at the 50.
I thought we were 48.
No, the first red is...
53?
Is the you highest percentage of players.
Okay. All
right. Right? I think I'm almost positive that's what it is.
Yeah.
So that's 50%.
Okay.
Right?
I think the breakdown was in you're in the 48.
If we get another, where Justin is... Which is a rank higher than us?
Then we're in the
then
minority.
We're above.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. By the way, Justin.
Yeah.
He has my number. But I will say
we can do this.
I beat him twice, so I am making progress because early on, I could not beat that guy.
Yeah.
Now I beat him twice with my Nina.
Yep.
Who some say is legendary.
Legendary Nina. Yeah.
No, she's really hard. I picked the wrong character. She's really tough.
But you didn't bring anyone else out. Oh, you brought out Azucena.
I don't know if I played against him with the Azucena. I think I brought her out against you.
Just me. Which I won.
I think my Azucena is capable, though.
Yeah.
She's not a bad backup. You did win.
Yeah.
Because you played Paul.
Yeah.
Who is...
He's a beefy dude.
He is beefy.
Yeah.
Your Paul's good. I mean,
It's very...
He took two games
basic.
Off of me.
It's basic.
But that's good.
Yeah.
That's Tekken.
Right.
Like Tekken. Yeah.
That's why I picked him.
I hate that. He's too. I think that's why I gravitate towards the smaller girl characters. There's a couple reasons. One of them is the speed.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is self-evident.
Yep.
But I got to have a fast character.
Yeah.
I do not like when I play Jin, it is the worst experience of my life.
So my problem is I'm too aggressive, right? So
yeah.
I was like, if you're a fan, that's just saying there's a toxin in the room. It's fine. My thing is I'm too aggressive. So with Paul, he's very good, but you have to be a little bit more defensive with him and wait for that opening and kind of forces you to. Otherwise, you're always going to get just rocked every time.
Right.
So that's forcing me to play differently, which is what I need, which then hopefully should unlock the ability to play other characters better.
Yeah, I like that strategy.
That's my goal. I am not playing as much as I want to, which is a problem. I thought I'd be able to play more, especially at night, but little kiddo does not like to go down.
Babies. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I haven't played that much this week either because I've been doing other things.
Yeah.
But that was a good sparring session we had the other night.
Yeah.
Took a couple off Justin. Victor is...
That was just random. It was just one of those, like, hey, he was on. Let's
no, I like play. It. I love playing with Justin. He makes me better.
Mm-hmm.
I do have to lab Victor. I got to get in the lab and just, like, go hard on, like, what's punishable. What can I sidestep? That's, like, my next step. I've gotten decent at, like, understanding what moves are punishable because you can kind of tell sometimes.
Yeah.
Now... Understanding the exact frames, which is very important, is very like you have to actually lab the character. But like if you're playing someone you're not super comfortable with, you can generally tell, like, you know, based on like the animation, how much they're winding up and
yep.
And so if it's like a launch move, right?
You know what my favorite thing to do is play against yourself. So for instance with Paul, if I go into like a ghost battle, right?
Yeah.
You can pick Paul. Get like a high level Paul player or whatever, and every time I do a move and I'll just go through all his moves, the other Paul will always punish me, just like 100% of the time. For whatever reason, it was just like at a certain level, if you do something that's punishable, they're gonna punish you. And I quickly learned all my moves that way. I'm like, okay, like what's worth it, what's not, all that stuff. So yeah, I beat you as Paul, but also I was getting away with a lot just because you didn't know the character yet. So it's one of those, like, once you learn, I'm like, you know my law, then it would completely change and I wouldn't be able to do what I was doing.
Right.
So it kind of, like, forces you to do it because, like, it's very frustrating to throw out all these moves and then the computer just hits you with the same punish over and over and over. And you're just like, man, okay, so I can't literally do anything. That's good practice, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nate got it, so I'll see.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to like it. He's currently playing it.
I know, but he has 2 hours on it, which means that he's going to have it returned before we even get a chance to...
Play with it, right. Yeah. Yeah. Should have maybe waited. Yeah. I think, definitely, if anyone's going to check out Tekken, check out Phidex.
Phidex? Phidex?
Phidex. On YouTube, he's got a really great beginner guide
mm-hmm.
that, like... That's what I used, and that's what I found was the best video for me. Like, the tutorial in Tekken's, like, fine, but that goes through every single... Like, it starts with, here's what the four buttons do. You know, right punch, left punch, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Breaks down literally everything like you've never played the game before, much like myself. So, yeah, that was really beneficial. So that's what I recommend. It's, like, it's not super long video. It's maybe, like, 30 minutes, but...
Yeah.
And then, like, what I always do is... I'll bring up whatever video I'm watching or my guides on my second monitor while I'm playing the game.
That's what I need is I'm still rocking one monitor, so I need that second one.
It's so clutch. Like when I was learning Azusen, I had the guide up and I was just doing what he was doing, just going through it.
Yeah.
It's just like that second level of like just putting it to your muscle memory is huge.
Yep.
Yeah. So she's fun. She's super easy. Azusen, like if I started with her, I'd be a lot better. But it's, I'm glad I didn't, because I would probably develop some seriously horrible habits.
Yeah. I mean, that's why with like law is just, it wasn't great. And then I just blanked on a lot of stuff because my mind was still in like Paul mode. And then you have to like completely change.
I was shocked that like you weren't able, like I didn't have that problem. I was able, like when I picked Nina, I'm right back.
I think it was a wrong mindset. I think if I picked law again, just like the next match, yeah, I would have been much better.
You should have.
Yeah.
Because you got to practice switching. That's what I'm trying to do. Because yeah, I don't want to fall into that trap where I'm like, I'm playing Azucena for like a week straight and it's like, I totally forget Nina. I try to
intermix. My problem was like, I didn't have a lot of time. And I was just like, I want to get as much
Paul
in as I can just to kind of
play with it. I also want to get as much Paul.
It's also kind of a safety net too, like a cushion where it's like, well, if I get beat, it's not my main. You know, like it's like whatever. Like
I put it all out there. My main got crushed every time. Victor is so tough.
Yeah, but I think if you learn the moves, that shuts down a lot of.
I got to go in the lab. I got to put the work in.
You get his one combo down, and I feel like that's enough of a mix up where I feel like you're good.
I'll never play Victor. I'm never playing him. But yeah, I will learn how to play against him.
Yeah.
I will say I did hit my Nina combo a couple times.
You can tell.
It felt immaculate.
Yeah.
It felt great. There was one where that's where I beat him one round. Because I hit the combo. It does like 70-some damage, depending on what launcher I use. If I use my good launcher, it's like 75, which is respectable. That's respectable damage.
My thing is like with Paul, he has like a 3-hit combo that does the same amount of damage as if you did like a 10-hit combo.
Oh, it's bullshit.
Yeah. So it's like, well,
Azucena does like 70.
Yeah.
It's the easiest thing in the world. Yeah. I get it almost every time.
I told you about Eddie's, where it's like you just hit X.
Yep.
Like you just keep, well, or A or whatever controller you use, but you just keep hitting that button and it's just all about the directional inputs.
I hate that.
Yeah.
But with Nina, the next step is to learn the butterfly loop, because what you can do is there's a quarter circle move that you can spam, but you have to have perfect timing, mm-hmm, and you can just carry people to the wall.
Because he has the same thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, where you just like his uppercut, and if you just do it every time, you just get him all the way
so
to the
like,
wall.
So, like, you watch, like, Nina Pros, they do this, like, it's like that up move where she's like,
bah. Yeah.
It's like, bah, bah,
yep,
bah. Yep. I'm doing a hand motion, but yeah. You can do that, like, 3 or 4 times, and then that's when you get to the wall, and then once they're in the wall, dude, it's over.
Well, that's why you need the combo for Paul. So, like, I need to do the longer combo to get them to the wall. And then Paul's just brutal against the wall.
I definitely recommend, like, learning a combo first that you can just do. That's the most important part, because having that damage consistently is, like, so important to winning matches. Like, when I was not able to do that on Nina, I mean, there are so many matches I could have won because I'm knocking people up and I'm not doing optimal damage.
Yeah.
Not optimal, but, like, better.
You're getting what you can out, but it's not.
It's not even close. It's to not like if you had a lockdown combo. It doesn't even have to be optimal. Just a combo that does decent damage that you can nail every time. And then the next step is having two combos. One is your damage combo. Second is the wall carry combo.
Yeah,
I think that's my recommendation.
Yeah, and you can't underestimate. I mean, especially in the where we're at ranked wise, is you can't underestimate just the way that people get tilted with it. Where like if you get that combo off and you just have to set your controller down as you're getting like juggled in the air for 10 seconds, like that takes a toll on you.
When I do that to you on an Azucena, you get
that's what I mean,
pissed.
Yeah, because it's just it's so long, and then I make mistakes because I get like frustrated, and it, like there is that component to it for sure.
You get up, you try to press, yeah, for sure. What
like,
I've been
I
working
just
on,
lay down.
What's that?
She just lay down, like there, yeah. You know.
Oh my god, dude, Victor, I don't know what it was. I was trying to roll, and he was just killing me on the ground.
Yeah,
I got to figure out what I have to do. Probably just stand back or something. I don't even know, dude, but it was bad. I was just getting crushed in the corners. What I've been working on is I'm trying to understand where all of my moves are when I hit and on block. So I'm trying to identify like frame traps. So what a frame trap is like when you get a move on block and they block it, you're still plus. So generally people will push out of that, press out of that, and you're going to beat them because you're plus frames.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a frame trap. I know one on Nina, but I'm sure there's got
to
be
others. I have one on Paul. They seem to work pretty well. Like his uppercut, like actually it pops up.
Yeah.
Is like
pretty quick.
Either the fastest or like
was like 13.
It's up there. Yeah, it's very, very quick.
Standard's like 14. 13 his, would be his crazy. Is a little bit better. Yeah. 13 would be crazy.
Which I was doing pretty regularly where I couldn't do combo that on well, yeah. I do the little catch him in the air and do a little back pile driver thing.
Yeah.
You know, if you do that just standing, so it is part of a combo, it doesn't do a lot of damage. It does like 55 damage. If you can pull that off, like if you do, like if I do like it's like forward, 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 triangle or whatever, and it hits them.
Yeah.
And if you hit them, it's 55 damage.
That's so stupid.
It's so slow. Like, you'd have to be snoozing for that to happen.
But when you get it, though,
it feels real good.
You just crushed them. His death fist or whatever is crazy. That's like his move.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is I have to worry about heat engagers. Like his heat is insane. Like the stuff that he can do with it.
Yeah.
So I have to not like if you pop yours, you kind of got me in the habit of just like popping mine too, just to like block your kind of press.
Yeah.
I got to stop doing that. Because then I'm throwing a lot of damage on the table anyway.
Yeah, that makes sense. Nina's heat's very good. Azucena's heat is not that good.
Yeah.
So I struggle with that because when I'm in heat with Azucena, I feel like I'm.
Dude, she just pisses me off. Like her dancing and like her like kind of like taunt. Just every move is a taunt.
Yeah.
I like that. It hurts.
I like Azucena. She's great. Is she an MMA fighter? Like not at all, but I don't care.
Yeah, she does a move.
Her grabs are very MMA.
They look like it. Yeah.
Dude, everything else is dancing.
Paul is as MMA as you're going to get.
Paul?
Yeah. He's judo. Like, he's a judo champion.
He's not very grapply, though.
He can be. His
grabs
throw
good?
His throw game is really very good. Yeah, it's above average.
I've never seen a Paul throw that much.
Yeah.
Like, interesting.
You know, you have your regular, like, okay, hit a punch, kick, whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, I can grab you, kick you across the screen. I can grab you and shoot you across. Like, there's a lot. It's not... like Nina, where you're doing like six different breaks or whatever.
Yeah,
but he does one, and then it's the same amount of damage.
Yeah, Nina's grab game's pretty good.
Yeah,
she's annoying.
It's extremely, and like if you put the computer on like ultra hard or whatever the hardest is, as you're trying to like do stuff.
Yeah,
she's only grabbing you.
Really?
Like 90% of the time. Yeah. Like I put her on. I was just like, hey, all moves just go nuts. Make it tough for me.
Yeah.
And she was just trying to grab me constantly.
Yeah, that's funny.
I'm pretty sure Tekken is the game we've talked about the most on this podcast.
Yeah, dude. Which is kind of nuts. It ignited something within yourself.
Yeah.
Where I've never seen this passion from you before.
It's, well, you're bringing a very technical aspect to it where I hadn't been. It kind of is a bummer because I'd be interested in like seeing like where we would have been with like Tekken 7 and how that would have worked and stuff like that, especially with the roster. But yeah, it's
exciting. It's we fun. Have this whole like we got the next decade to
right yeah
do this
yeah yeah
you know all these characters are gonna come.
I just want a new announcement. Like I'm ready for the next thing. Like it, you know, for as good as it is, I mean, you were saying it has like mostly negative reviews.
Dude, it's
of,
getting
like, all that.
Killed yeah. right now. Nate was just saying the reason he bought it is on sale because it's getting murdered.
Yeah,
the game's not that bad, but this is what happens in League, too. Everyone cries about the game, and it's like the people that really are only allowed to cry about this are like professional players.
Right.
Because in gold, it does not matter the balance.
Yeah.
I can play the worst champ in the game in gold and win.
Yep.
Easily. If I'm better,
it's people
like, you know?
Regurgitating what the pros say and pretending that they're absolutely. But the moment a pro would like unlock something where it's like, oh hey, did you find out that like actually, I don't know who's the old dude with the dreadlocks,
Leroy,
thank you. Oh, Leroy's actually
he's been playing
incredible.
Since Tekken 3, by the way.
Well, yeah, but Leroy only came in like Tekken.
Six.
Is it six? No, he was DLC in 7, I think.
Was he really?
I think so, yeah. Because he actually was crazy.
That's
high
right.
in 7. Yeah.
I thought it might have been 6, though. So I thought they reeled him in. Or maybe not. I'm probably wrong. Yeah. No, I got you.
But anyway, but like, you know, like he is regarded as not very good right now.
Right. Well,
Well, yeah, they nerfed him enough.
But look, I mean, like,
overplayed.
People can be overpowered, underpowered, but... Again, if a pro player uses Leroy in low ranks, he's going to absolutely... like there's a point in which it doesn't matter. And I think that mid elo where people cry the most is like,
completely agree,
dude. Like,
I will say, so like the thing is with the connection, there is like the connection is bad, but I'm only getting that on PlayStation. Like the PlayStation internet sucks.
That's always been the case, though.
I know, but I don't understand it because I have the best internet you can get.
Yeah.
And Stellar Blade was a 16 gig demo, and it took me like an hour and a half to download. Wow. On Steam, that would have been like, okay, 3 minutes, and it's like done.
Yeah.
And so like I understand why people are complaining, but at the same time, like how much of that is Tekken and how much of that is just PlayStation sucking?
Tekken historically has not had the best connection, though.
No, but it's the best one they've had.
Sure.
And every time I'm playing on PC, like...
But you're comparing it against, like, Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat.
Sure, but I'm just trying to think of, like, things that people can, like, bitch about. And when it comes to, like, performance is, like,
well, it's good. The shop, dude. It's, like, they hate the shop. They hate the microtransactions, which I get.
Yeah.
But it spirals out of control. And like you said, they literally just regurgitate, like, what...
Yeah.
The YouTubers say, well, like, and they're like,
the shop sucks, right?
Like, I would love to see if there was no social media, mm-hmm. how people would actually feel.
Yeah,
maybe they'd still be pissed. Sure, to that level, no way. It just scales, you know.
Yeah,
the outrage.
Well, the shop is bad, right?
It like, is.
It's
sure.
Not, I don't think it's necessarily poorly priced. But there's literally nothing in there that I'm like, oh, I have to have this.
Right. Like the season pass especially was horrible.
Yeah. But it's like I have never felt more at ease just not worrying about buying anything. Like Diablo 4, which I'm sure there's a new season coming out for that at some point. But like there are some times when I'm like, oh, man, I really want to buy this, you know, whatever, you know. And
right.
Tekken, I haven't had that one time.
I bought Nina's costume.
Yeah, sure, but like, okay, Nina's was cool, and you play as Nina, but like
that was her. I think six.
I think six. Yeah,
it's like a jumpsuit.
Yeah,
she actually had a similar costume for a couple.
All like the
she's
time.
Had
yeah.
that.
Yeah, it's always purple or black.
That's pretty. It's pretty. Yeah,
but it's like you have that, and like there's nothing. Like, okay, I got something for Law, and it's like this jumpsuit, which is like the laziest thing in the world. Where it's like they kind of took something that they already had modeled and they changed the color. You know, like.
I thought it was one of his older costumes.
Yeah, sure. Oh, but okay. It's like you could have got, I could have made something fairly close and custom where it's like, did I need to pay the, what is it, $6, $7, yeah. whatever it is? Like, whenever they were saying, oh, we're coming out with a Yoshimitsu skin, and I was like, oh, I can't wait. I bet you it's three. I bet you it's going to be that one. And then it was like some new one that, like, okay, I don't care. You know?
Did you see the classic set they're coming out with?
Which one?
It's like Jin and. June and Kazuya.
Is it like fairly recent? It has to be.
What?
The classic stuff?
Yeah. So Kazuya has like a body armor on, like a police outfit kind of. I don't even know what game that's from.
Four.
Jin is something. June is like, I mean, all of her costumes look the same.
Yeah,
she's been in what, two games?
Yeah, yeah.
I actually love her character design though. She's one of my favorite. Yeah. Like where... I don't think I could, if I were to play June, I don't think I would use the default. I don't think I can improve on that design.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas, like the other ones, I like color swap and this and that.
Yeah.
Put accessories.
Yeah. I just,
hers was like, this is too good. It's like exactly what I want.
The bottom line, though, is like the stuff that they're putting in the shop, because it's like the last update they did was all Avatar stuff.
Yeah.
It was just characters.
Yeah,
your
nobody
avatar.
Gives a fuck about
you,
that.
You want to dress like Brian Fury? Here you go. Like,
right.
So if that's the effort that they're putting in, that's what they're doing is, as far as like the avatar stuff goes, where it's like, hey, you're going to look exactly like everyone else, which is like the opposite of an avatar, right? Like you want it to be unique and you want to stand out. So if everyone's running around as like Jin, that's stupid.
Yeah, that would be a good opportunity to be like, okay, if you get a character to a certain rank or something or have enough hours in them or whatever, that's when you unlock it, right?
Sure.
So then if someone's walking around as Jin, you're like, oh, wow, this guy plays a lot of Jin.
And I think the Battle Pass has something like that, but I think you only need to get like halfway through. I think it's like level 31 or 32 to get those white eyes, which is what I wanted.
Yeah.
Where it's like, yeah, I could do that. I could do that on the PlayStation, which I'm 10 levels away.
Yeah.
I could do that on PC. No problem.
Yeah.
It just like, I don't know what people are upset about where... Okay, they came out with the Tekken Shop. I guess you could make the argument that they're too busy trying to monetize this thing and make money when the game could use like tweaks and balances and updates and things like that.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to believe that the same team is working on both of those things. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, yeah.
I can't imagine, like if you're an artist at Namco, right? And you're like, okay, well, I'm making these costumes. You're not the one balancing the game design.
Right.
Like, I don't know. It's like this echo chamber of just like, it's this, again, snowball effect of, oh, the pros are pissed, so I'm just going to regurgitate that, put my YouTube video up with the thumbnail of like a angry face and just say the exact same thing.
Right. I think you're right, but it is what it is. I think the game's good. Like, the game's good, but it's all, what are you doing for me now?
Yeah.
That's like, there's no consideration for this game's still a great game. It's like, okay, it sucks right now, or like we're unhappy with some of the decisions right now, that like all the good is like washed away, which I think is a little unfair.
Well, the thing is too, if like somebody's upset about like X move from X player, but then you find out that that move to do it requires like a decent bit of skill, and the people that are complaining, A, couldn't do the move if they wanted to, and B, probably aren't playing against people that are doing the move. So what are you, like, again, right, what are you complaining about? I mean, look,
there's some reasonable gripes where it's like, okay, Victor literally had like a bug in one of his grabs.
Yeah, sure.
Where it's like, you have to be frame perfect or you can't break it. Or Azucena's running 3-2 was busted.
It still sucks, but yeah.
It still sucks, but there's actually like, you have to sidestep it now. There's counterplay.
Yep.
Still tough, but before it was like, I think it was like homing plus on block.
Yep.
Like, it was literally, you cannot do anything against this character. So yeah. So I get it. But at the same time, yeah, I agree with what you're saying.
It's a lot easier to hit a thumbs down and write a thing saying, this outrage, is the worst. Outrage,
negativity always carries more.
It's a lot easier than like getting better.
Easier.
Yeah.
Than getting better or being positive. I mean, look at the news. It's always negative.
Yep.
That's what sells.
Yeah. All right. We hit Tekken again.
Yeah, we hit Tekken.
You wanted to talk about chess.
I did want to talk about chess. So, essentially, I forget what I was watching, but if we ever made a video game or like a movie or something, it doesn't even have to be chess, but chess is like the most common example I think of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just go the extra step and do it justice. I can't stand when I'm watching something and like they're not playing by the rules, or it doesn't make any sense, or they're making the dumbest move possible. Like, you'll have people playing poker in, like, I don't know, James Bond or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, nobody ever, like, if it's supposed to be, it's like Casino Royale, that famous scene where it's like, yeah, that's a cool scene. It's very dramatic.
Yeah.
Nobody ever in their right fucking mind with a pair of nines would call four people behind them who go like all in on a rich board that could be anything. Flushes are possible. Straights are possible. You got a pair of nines. You got like a full house. It's like, I mean, full house is very good, but like, it's like, there's no chance. Like, so many things beat you. I don't even know if he had a full house, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so many things beat you, and you're supposed to be a really good player. Maybe maybe all those people were degenerates. Maybe that's what they were going for.
I feel like if you're on a yacht, were they on a yacht, or they were on it? So they were somewhere.
I thought it was like Monte Carlo or something.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, I feel like they were all degenerates.
If you're playing a game for tens of millions of dollars, maybe I'm just way out of touch. Maybe they're all degens. That's, I guess, possible. But even degens aren't, like, you play poker that much.
Yeah.
You're not an idiot.
Yeah.
You're betting into four people who are all in with, like, the fifth best hand.
Play the player. That's it.
What do you win against? Like, what do you win against?
I don't know.
Anyways, so it's,
to be
like,
fair, he said the last hand nearly killed him. In the movie.
Can't remember. I don't know. I have to look at the scene again. But it's so, I feel like two people going all in, like someone has the, like Bond in the last hand, I'm pretty sure has the nuts, and then the bad guy with the one eye has like the second nuts. Yeah, that makes sense. Maybe even a third guy. You have 1, 2, 3. That's a crazy run out, but sure, shit happens. That's dramatic. Five guys?
Was it that many?
I thought it was five guys. You had the big black guy, you had the guy with the ponytail. You had one eye, Captain Willie.
There had to be a...
You had Bond.
Was there not a lady in there?
It was four. There was a lady, right?
I don't know. I think so.
It was either four or five, but even so,
the
let's
FBI
say there's four.
Agent was just like, I'm bleeding chips.
Yeah.
We're going to spot you, but I bring them in.
if there's four, you're like, you have the fourth best hand possible on a board that has like royal flush.
Yeah.
Everything.
It's possible. Like the Lindsay Lohan flick. The
Legally Blonde? What? I don't know.
That's not. Is that Lindsay Lohan? No.
Who is that?
Legally Blonde? It's not Meg Ryan. It's Reese Witherspoon.
Is Legally Blonde. Mean Girls?
Mean Girls is Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah. Okay, we're getting closer.
It's Parent Trap.
Parent Trap.
Whenever they were saying like she got like a straight flush, but then there was like they both got straight flushes. But like one got
Isn't that literally impossible?
Is it? No, because I think one got
Maybe you can. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but like one was like low and one was like in your honor, a royal straight flush.
Yeah.
So like the American Lindsay Lohan won and the British one lost.
That'd be crazy. Yeah. But I could see that.
It was very riveting.
But like again, if you're like there's a straight flush on board and like they're just betting.
Yeah.
Like they're bluffing. I guess they could be bluffing. I mean that makes sense. Yeah. Anyways, look, I'm not even a good poker player, so maybe I'm just way out of base on this. But like I've seen chess kills me. Like I've seen games in they're playing chess and there was this one where he checks the other person with his king, which is literally impossible in the game. You're not allowed to do that. A king cannot check another king.
How I don't understand.
You can't do it.
Yeah.
A king can't go next to another king.
Right.
So they did it in the game. They're like, "Oh, I guess it's a stalemate." And I'm just like, what the fuck is going on?
How is it a stalemate though? Because if it's the other,
I don't know. I don't. Like right. They would just take him, right? Yeah. It was dumb.
Yeah,
it was dumb.
Okay.
Well, you could because technically, let's say you could check another king. So let's say you have a bishop covering your king.
That doesn't matter because if the king takes the other king, game over.
You cannot make a move that puts yourself in the check.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh,
that's the role of chess. Well, this is why you can't put a king in a check. Because it's like if I take the king, it's over.
Yeah.
But like, what comes first? So anyway,
they got lazy.
Well, it was a whole like metaphor about how
everything's League of Legends.
No, yeah, close.
Sure.
Nate just said that helped a lot, so there might be good hope.
Okay.
Like how? Well, the show is like you got to lead from the front, like if you're the leader and uh-huh. everything like that. And so it was kind of this metaphor about the two leaders kind of doing the dirty work, I guess. If that makes sense.
Sure.
Anyways, well, the problem is in the first episode, they had this amazing like chess puzzle that they used.
What is this from?
An anime.
Oh, God. Yeah, okay.
Exactly. It makes sense. So they had this really amazing chess puzzle where like the whole thing was like, if the king moves, you know, your soldiers won't follow or whatever. So like he moved his king, which seemed like a really bad move, but it was the only possible solution. And like, if you actually looked at the board, like there's like a video on it. It's like, this is the only way he wins the game. It was like really cool.
Yeah.
Same in Harry Potter. Like the first Harry Potter movie, they had like a chess guy come in and create a puzzle. So if you looked at the moves that they do to win, where Ron sacrifices himself, like that is how they actually won the game. It's not bullshit. It's like they actually had
They did the work. Yeah.
So my point is,
you hate Casino Royale is really what you're saying there.
I don't hate Casino Royale. That's not even the worst example. It's just the first one I thought of.
Okay.
Because I think it's unreal. Because it's not super unrealistic where it's like, if there was that crazy of a run out, I'm sure two people would be in. Like if it was Bond and the bad guy. But the fact that there's four people in that hand is nuts to me. That is crazy. Like they're going all in. What do you think they have? You think three people behind you are bluffing?
Maybe.
Yeah. That's what he thought.
You got to see what's going on.
Anyways,
speaking of, I think I get a cheeseburger off of Mike because he says that James Bond is not going to be in the next James Bond movie.
That's the stupidest bet I think I've ever heard in my entire life.
I'm very excited about it.
That why would he ever?
I think he was in the mindset that they would like try to make it like here's Jeanette Bond, or they kind of like spin it off into like a female lead because like what's her face was 007. In the last film, I forget the actress's name, but like she got
Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan was the 007 monitor. She'd
make
an
interesting 007.
Yeah, my whole thing was like they're just gonna reboot it, dude, and they're gonna make James Bond again. Like
that's literally easy. What they do every time.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever. Good
I figured
luck.
That was
good
just
luck,
easy.
Mike.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Anyways, if we ever make anything, just put in the effort, learn the game,
Sure.
Yeah. It's like when you're watching a TV show and they're playing video games and they're just fucking going crazy on the controller, and that's like not how anyone's ever played.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen a show or movie that ever got video games correct.
Right.
Yeah.
But, and look, I understand, like, you have to do something visually interesting to notate to the viewer that, like, they're doing something active. Like, if you watch a person, like, actually play video games, super boring, probably, like, if you're looking at their hands. So I get it, I guess. It just irks me a little bit.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, a little bit of effort we could...
I believe, yeah.
No, I'm like, when anyone talks about video games in a show, it's like the terminology is so...
Terminology is bad. They're like a low, like, oh, you're a nerd virgin, huh? Like, that type of thing. It's just like that type of...
I would even take that. That's like Xbox mid-2000s. Like, they're just like... They talk about it like your 50-year-old uncle would.
If you like played a video arcade game, yeah.
You're one of those noobs, huh?
Do you have that Pac-Man?
I don't know. Yeah. Anyways, that just angers me. Just put in a little bit of effort.
What spurred this?
Research. I think I was watching Suits, and there was a poker scene that just irked me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They had it in Ocean's 11, too. But that was just a bunch of people who didn't know how to play poker, so they kind of covered their tracks a little bit.
Ocean's 11 is just full of this could never happen.
Which is why it's just
perfect. It is great, it's but it kind of leans into it, so I'm
pretty sure Ocean's 11 is a perfect movie.
That's wrong.
I don't know what could be better.
Every other movie?
That's
as ridiculous as saying it's a perfect movie.
For what it is, what it set out to do, it did everything. Like, you want to talk about experiences? Ocean's 11 is... It might be my top 10 movies.
No.
Just saying.
It's a good time.
Yeah, it's a great time.
But
fantastic
experiences,
time.
I wasn't like losing my shit.
Dude,
I am
I am a sucker. If you get the band together,
yeah,
I'm in.
That's every anime ever.
Sure. Well, I haven't seen that episode yet.
Well, you stopped at the cow milking.
Yeah, well, dude, Vinland, I don't think that was Vinland. Was it? Yeah,
that was Vinland.
Yeah, it was. I just got done telling one of my friends.
I gotta grow up a little bit.
Dude, I can't. I was fine with the milking. It's the kids, like, you see what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like a metaphor there.
Yeah. Something.
You're the worst.
No, so now I'm on, have you seen Modern Family?
Yeah, I've seen bits and pieces of it.
It's very funny.
It's okay.
I like
it
a lot.
It's overrated.
I don't know what that. I assume it's well regarded then.
Super well regarded. Yeah.
I will say, for what I'm watching, like, do I think it's as good as like Brooklyn Nine-Nine or even New Girl for that matter? No, but it's exactly what I need right now. So like, if from like 10 p.m. to 3 a.m., it's just like, just throw that on, little 20 minute episodes and stuff while I'm taking care of the baby. It's right. I think it's perfect.
Makes sense, dude. Yeah. Like, you have a small brain and you need.
I need just the
something
small,
really
quick stimulation,
one dimensional.
Yeah.
And I have a big brain, so I need something a little bit more.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah, I know.
It makes a lot of sense.
Dude, I can't wait till I can't even front that. No,
just say it.
I can't wait till I just watch all of Vinland Saga and have that wealth
of
knowledge.
Yeah, the joke's been for years.
I know.
Oh, I'm going to play League. I'm going to become an expert behind your back. Waiting on that.
Nah,
waiting for Sir Wolvengard's next stream. I've been in his chat for 2 years.
First off, it was Tyler Plays. It was Wolven Plays.
Wolven Plays.
Yeah.
So half point for each of us.
Yeah, I changed back. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just Sir Wolvengard now.
Oh, so I am right.
Now. Oh, now.
You had a little avatar with the glasses.
I put a lot of work in the design.
That's what I like.
I hated everything else.
You're a designer.
Yeah.
You're doing the right career. That's like, should be reassuring to you.
That's great. Yeah.
It is.
I know.
You love the design, man. You just got to get someone else to stream.
Do the content.
I'm behind in my garden, speaking of which. I'm throwing stones in a glass house.
That's not good.
Yeah, because I...
But at least you're doing it.
Well, I'm going to do it. I have done it for the past couple of years, but I'm not very good at it.
Yeah.
But I'm trying.
That's good.
I'm trying. I made a commitment. Not really, but to myself. I made a commitment
to
myself.
Ago, yeah. Oh, dude, I don't give... Myself is...
You don't care when I grow a carrot?
I absolutely care when you grow a carrot. Right. I'm saying for for me to be like, oh,
carrots are really hard.
Yeah, carrots like they should not be in
tomatoes this are my best climate. I had the best with tomatoes.
Tomatoes are super.
But I can only grow the yellow ones. I don't know why.
I feel like they're just not ripe yet. Keep them on the vine. No,
the lemon get boys. Red.
Dude, red tomato is my favorite tomato. Your lemon boys was good.
Oh, those. I don't really like tomatoes very much, but lemon boys were great because they're not really a tomato.
Oh,
they're kind of like. Yeah. I mean, they are a tomato, but they, you know, you tried them. They don't.
Yeah,
really
no,
taste
like they were. They were good. They just.
I gotta try to get some good red ones this year.
My mind was like, I want to taste the red tomato, and it's like, yeah, that was.
I'm gonna try really hard to get a good red one because I gotta get Chelsea's stamp of approval. That's like my goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the big slices of tomato. She likes the ones that you can just kind of pop in your
chomp.
Mouth. Yeah.
Oh, the small ones? I go with the bigger ones.
Not necessarily cherry, but she likes the smaller ones. Yeah.
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 Mine are going to try to be plump.
Good.
The plump factor.
Do you need that in, like that? You need to be planted now, right? To get them.
Yeah, I'm so behind. It's bad. It's bad.
So what are you doing to remedy it?
Praying.
Praying?
A lot of praying
to
the
normally
sun god. What?
Like, did you plant them?
Not yet. I'm digging out my garden.
Should start with that.
Currently.
Yeah, if you plant them, then pray.
Yeah. No, I'm praying for, like, motivation.
Oh, okay. Yes, you're starting at the zero level. Yeah.
You got to pray first and then do it and then pray again.
Yeah.
Hey. It's a whole thing.
No, my mom would approve.
Gardening's tough.
Yeah.
Gardening's tough. I have a lot of respect for the gardeners out there.
Yeah. I'm at a point now where I don't know, like I've been off for 2 weeks. This is my second week.
Yeah,
I have one more to go.
One more.
I feel like I don't know what's gonna happen when I go back to work. Where it's like, hey, you have a job again. Like you gotta.
Everything might explode.
Maybe.
Or everything might be fine.
Maybe.
Probably somewhere in the middle.
Probably. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Leaning towards explosions, but yeah.
No, it's all perception. It only is an explosion if you care about it.
Oh, okay.
Right? I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
Okay. That's fair. I do care about it, so that's gonna...
That's what I'm saying. You stop caring about it, you'll be amazed how quickly...
3 days of me just catching back up for a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't envy your position. Yeah. I do envy the 3 weeks off. I don't envy taking care of a kid, and I also don't envy having to go back.
Kid's tough. And she's been fairly good. Yeah. So it's kind of like, I mean, there are kids that just scream their heads off 24/7.
Right.
I don't know how anyone would be able to handle that. That's crazy.
That was me. Yeah, I was an issue. I was an issue when I was a kid, when I was a toddler.
Yeah.
When I was a tyke. Well, is that one of the stages? A tyke?
Yeah. Okay.
Was a little tyke?
Yeah.
Is that toddler? Is that the same thing? It's probably a bad toddler.
I think a tyke is a...
Bad toddler?
So there was Tykes, which is a brand of toy.
Sure.
So I assume it'd be like, oh, you're a little Tyke. It's not a stage. It's not like a toddler,
right?
Teen, whatever.
It has to be.
Slang, I think.
Because you don't call an adult a Tyke.
No, it's slang for something. But what toddler. I'm saying is like, you're not going to have like, oh, this is Tyke size.
Right, right.
Here, let me Tyke. Watch this be like extremely like offensive or something.
The
like
more I said it, the more I was nervous about how horrible it might be.
It's just informal, a small child.
Okay, good.
Safe. Or if you're British and dated, an unpleasant or coarse man.
Okay. So I could still be a tyke depending on who's talking.
You could, yeah.
Wow. That's very interesting. Yeah. Anyways, I was a nightmare.
I think I was pretty good.
Yeah, you seem like a good kid.
Wow.
It's all bottled up, though.
Yeah.
I let it out. You know?
clean conscience.
No, my conscience is riddled.
Oh, okay.
Well, but I let it out.
Okay, so there's no silver lining there.
Oh, it's a lose-lose, but it's just like...
Okay.
How...
Sure.
How do you let it out? Comes out one way or another time.
Speaking of, I don't even know how I was going to have some sort of transition. Right. If we rewind 10 minutes, I was going to transition into my D&D thing.
Oh, sure.
I'm going to run a campaign. So we're doing this whole thing now.
Yeah.
Where it's going to be the same group. I'm running a campaign.
Right.
I have to get a questionnaire out.
So that's not out yet.
It's not out yet.
Okay.
I just kind of sent a message to the group saying like, hey, I'm going to talk to you this weekend. Very ominous. Change the picture of the group and the name of the group to D&D.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is all factual.
All right. So anyway, I pulled up a text doc and I was like, all right, I need to figure out kind of like where people stand on it. So right now, as of recording, I have on a scale of 1 to 10, how hardcore do you want this campaign to be?
Okay.
In terms of like combat challenge, which we could kind of almost do your thing right now, but like in terms of combat challenge, like,
do you have your questionnaire?
Rations, goal. It's upstairs. Okay, I didn't. I did on a text document.
I was
to
like,
be as compatible as possible.
We could have done it right now.
We're doing it right now. So
have it all memorized?
Yeah, I haven't. I just did it not too long ago.
Oh,
this morning.
Are you gonna plug in my answers?
I remember it. Okay. I got it recorded. We're good.
Yeah, sure. Okay. And my tomatoes are gonna grow.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how hardcore do you want the campaign to be? So from 1 is easy, and then 10 is like treacherous.
So hardcore encompasses every element of it?
It can be everything from like the combat challenge and different things like that to like, hey, weather is going to play a factor. Like the conditions are going to play a factor. If you go outside and you're wearing like leather armor, you better have a reason on why you're not freezing to death.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So like, I'm going to take special kind of consideration in terms of like the environment and like, because like this whole campaign, because we're doing the Icewind Dale Rime of the Frost Maiden, right?
Yep.
The whole thing is like, you're in the north, it's treacherous, that people want to go here to get away and like be like, you know, disappear and stuff,
right?
Like that. And
yeah,
so that's what we're doing. It's going to be like, it actually gave a warning of like, I gotta let people know like, hey, there's going to be some gross things happening, there's going to be some scary stuff happening, like trigger warnings type of stuff.
Scary Berry.
Yeah and okay. Scary Beaky. Whatever.
Sneaky Beaky.
Sneaky Beakies.
Scary Berries.
Yeah. Anyway, there's going to be a lot of that stuff. So in terms of hardcore, like, what are you looking for? I guess like 1 being like,
okay,
yeah, it's whatever. You just kind of do whatever you want and you'll kind of fumble your way through it.
Yeah.
10 being like, you could die walking outside without an encounter just by like misrationing your stuff or like hazards from the, you know, winter.
Yeah. I'd say maybe like a 7, because I like the idea of some more hardcore elements where you keep track of your rations. Weather is a factor, like you said.
Yeah.
Weight matters.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that too is because D&D Beyond takes care of a lot of that, so I think that would be very helpful, because I've found that like doing that on paper, right, it sucks the worst. So
yeah,
having the electronic component to it actually helps quite a bit. So I think like a 7, but not like a 10, because I don't really want to die. Like if I die, I die.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, if you got a cool character going, dying kind of sucks. So that, you know, if I die, I want it to be like, maybe like an impactful reason.
Sure.
I don't want to die to the cold.
Like you slip on some ice and fall down a ravine.
That
yeah.
would feel pretty
sure.
bad.
Yeah.
Also like talking in character, I want a majority of the time to talk in character, but I don't want it to be like exclusively talking in character maybe, because I find myself like, that's pretty difficult. So like maybe like a 90% of the time, or like it's acceptable to like take a step back if you're like confused about something to
sure.
clarify.
I think the group typically does a good job of that.
Yeah.
Generally speaking.
Right.
Like I was very impressed with that. So.
So, I mean, like maybe a 7 or an 8, depending on how you interpret that. But those are just kind of some of the
okay.
details.
All right.
I would like more hardcore than less hardcore. Cause I don't think we've ever done a game that's like, we're starting to keep track. Like we don't ever do exhaustion. We don't ever do weight.
Right.
We don't ever do warmth.
Yep.
We don't
well,
ever
I
do.
Think in a lot of that kind of plays into it, where it's like, okay, you have weight, and it's like, okay, this is what you can carry on your back and different things like that. But I do want a level of like, you're going out into extreme frigid temperatures. Like, how does that impact how you're carrying, what you're carrying, and like what you're like, if you're just wearing boots and there's like 3 feet of snow.
Yeah.
Like that ain't going to work. You
it's
know?
Not going to work.
So like, I do want to keep track of a lot of that stuff and kind of figure that some of that stuff out. So, okay. Next question. Is so I don't know if I can remember all 10, but I picked 10 categories of things. So like NPCs, story, like main quest, side quest,
right.
exploration,
yeah,
you know, party, like party
dynamic
growth and different things like that. I did have like physical props and like trinkets, okay, and different things like that.
Yes.
So like for all of those, like what are your like, so technically you're supposed to order in 10, so we'll yeah. still do that. But like, what are your top maybe like five thing, like in order, what are your top five things when you're looking at a D&D campaign?
Okay. This is tough. So stories, I don't know if I can list them in order right now, but stories are obviously up there.
So story is a broad thing, and that's why I split it. Okay. So you have like your overarching campaign. Like yeah. this is like your, the dragon's going to blow yeah, up yeah, the yeah. world versus something like okay. side quest or something that's a little bit more so, like intimate.
I think the overall story is very important to me because that's obviously the whole reason we're doing the game. So not the reason we're doing the game, but that's like the reason, the motivation on sticking together and going forward. So like the togetherness factor of that and working towards a common goal, extremely important towards the top. I also put side quests towards the top, probably not above the main story because the main story is the main story. But and what I mean by side quests is it's not only like meeting new characters and helping them, but I find that our personal story, like if we have some sort of past or something connected to our character's history, helps me engage to the story too, because I think there's an opportunity there to have more of a togetherness for the party if they're willing to help you out with your own personal struggles or something you're, you know, trying to accomplish. So those are very important, like narrative overall, like all of that. I would say the physical props and stuff, while I love and it's so cool, probably very towards the bottom. I could take it
in terms of what you would need to stay in it.
I get
to,
like, if I've had amazing games that have zero, I've had amazing games that have had a lot. So I don't think it tips the scale. I mean, it tips the scale. It makes it better, enhances it, but it's not necessary. I would say, combat is medium, maybe not quite in the top five. I do think it's necessary, but it's not like super, like I actually don't mind like standard combat mm-hmm. and stuff. Like, of course I want it to be interesting and engaging, but some people get really bogged down by combat and they like really think it's boring. I'm not one of those people, because I can kind of create fun for myself by strategizing and getting excited about the abilities I'm going to get and stuff like that. So like, if your focus wasn't mainly on combat, I don't think it would bother me that much. NPCs, huge. That would be maybe three. I think characters are so important. So I want to care about the characters. I want the opportunity to... I love bringing NPCs into the party. Other people hate that. Like, Nate hates that. So I know he'll definitely disagree with that. But I love when like there's just like this little guy... Who like nobody believes in this guy. You just bring him with you, and now he's gonna come save the day with you. Cause like, I don't know. I just love that kind of arc.
Yeah.
And like, you have the agency to be like, oh, this shopkeeper who like didn't have any story in this book, now he's important. Now he's a main character, falls in your court.
Yeah.
I love that kind of stuff. Let's see. What were the other options?
Exploration.
So, yeah, exploration's like fine. Treasure's always fun, but like maybe like not
loot,
super.
Like how important is loot and getting rewarded?
It's important. There should be loot. I think the story is way more important. I will say that the visuals or the description kind of important. So I thought mm-hmm. Jeff was amazing at like really painting a picture of here's what this person looks like. And here's the atmosphere in this room and stuff like that. So I really like that. I've come to really appreciate that. And that's something I'm really bad at as a DM. But I would say that's probably like most of my stuff. Yeah.
I think we're going to see a widespread.
One more thing. I would love to see some more maybe like politics or like.
Like world building, like
world
like,
building
like
that way.
Grounded in.
I've always wanted to be in a game like that, but it's really hard to do because like that can be really complicated. But I would love like where we're solving problems not by just fighting, but like just talking and like holding things over people's heads, maybe, mm-hmm, or, mm-hmm, you know, blackmailing people or making deals or bribes and stuff, like where it's a little bit more, there's some more options.
Yeah.
So that would be great.
Nice. Okay. I think I already know your answer for this as far as getting like ability stats, right? Like,
yeah,
like enrolling your stats and things like that. You had the mindset of the entire party roles.
Yeah.
And you kind of pick the best role and that's what everybody gets.
So just to clarify, the entire party role is a block, not like, oh, he rolled an 18 and then he rolled an 18. Now we have two. It's like I roll six,
right,
stats.
Yeah. Everyone rolls.
I roll for six numbers.
Yeah.
And that's my block. And everyone has a block. And then the party votes on which block they want to use. And then you can assign them as you see fit.
Right.
Now, I have just found personally that's the best way that has worked for me, because I find that, at least with the people I've played with, if you have different stats, it can be discouraging to some people. If one guy's OP, another person is not.
Right.
And then it also gives the players some agency where like they voted and decided. So, I mean, obviously when players have that choice, when players have choice, it makes them feel better. So.
So I consider that the easiest of all the roles, even,
yeah,
beyond like point buy and kind of like the standard array,
right,
and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that is absolutely fine. That's one of the options, but that's kind of like where it's like, okay, like that would be like your easiest. And I have kind of these progressing, like hardcore, if you will, getting,
right,
all the way to, you tell me what your race and class is before you roll. And then you're rolling like in order,
yeah,
with no mulligans, no redos, no nothing.
Right.
So that's kind of the spectrum that I have.
Yep.
And I'm hoping we'll get something kind of in the middle there, but we'll see kind of what people are looking for.
Yeah. No, like the way I do it, it always leads to like very good blocks, obviously, just,
sure,
the mathematics, yep, of it. But I mean, the people I'm usually running games for like being strong. And the thing is too, like my philosophy is you can always scale the enemies to where your party is. Like if your party's way stronger than second level,
yeah,
throw a challenge four at them. Like, you know what I mean? You can adjust.
Yeah.
So I always like going higher because that I can play with more like if they're super weak, it's,
yep,
like, okay, we're fighting goblins for the next 10 levels.
So,
you know,
yeah, I think the thing is and I guess technically it depends on the monster you're throwing at them and challenge rating and all of that stuff. Like it tends to be like volume is an easy way to supplement that kind of stuff. And I find that very boring because you lose track of like, okay, here's your main guy that you're like trying to attack.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, and he's flanked by six trolls or wow, like wolves or,
yeah,
whatever. And it's like, okay, like what wolf is closest to me? Yeah, I'll take a swing at him, whatever. But I feel like if there's this kind of like more one-on-one thing where it's like this strong foe or this, you know, like whatever, and like the party might be a little on the weaker side,
yeah,
and then it starts making all of those fights a little bit more like you're clawing your way through them. You're really kind of struggling and you're really focused on not just like crushing through people, but like staying alive and actually finding,
yeah,
new ways to do stuff. So
the issue with that is like just the mechanics of the game, in my opinion. Volume generally, I mean, there's obviously a balance here depending on like how big the discrepancy is between levels, but volume generally is going to beat like individuals that are stronger because
just number
yeah, of rolls, turns, damage output. Like even if you're a level one, your damage output's not bad. So you have a goblin army.
Yeah.
Like if you're level 20, maybe not level 20, you could probably like one shot a goblin army, but if you're like a higher level and there's a goblin army on their turn,
They're just gonna overrun
you, like, right?
Yeah.
Like just the numbers. So it's a balance. I do like what I've been trying to do is I've been trying to make, if there's like a mob, make some unique guys.
Yep.
And then there's some like characteristics there and maybe particular fighting styles that they run into. And then,
yeah,
they kind of identify with that. And then there's like, there's been cases in which rivalries kind of form because they just can't hit this one guy. And now they're kind of, and then maybe I have that person survive and they can be returning stronger. You get some of the narrative elements that way.
Yeah. 100%.
Anyway, sorry.
No, I mean, that's, and I think that's the kind of stuff that I'm hoping to, like, we'll see kind of what people are leaning toward.
Yeah.
Things like that. But All right. So the other two questions I had is like, finish these sentences. So like one is, and I'm paraphrasing because I already wrote this out, but it's like my favorite D&D session was because like this happened or this was involved or whatever. Specifically talking about like the session and how it was run or that sort of thing. I'm not talking so much the story per se, but it's more of like what really pulls you into a session and you know, it's 11 o'clock, we're done with the night, and you're like, man, that was really good, and like sticks with you. And then the second question is the, you know, antithesis, and just like, okay, hey, what really pulled you out and what was just like, man, I left that session, I'm like, man, what a waste of time, or oh, I really didn't get anything out of that.
So I'm assuming it's like from a player perspective?
Yeah. Yeah. This is more of me being selfish of like, hey, when you're coming in, what are you looking for and what are you trying to avoid and how do I thread the needle as a DM?
Yeah, it's tough because I know you said like not story stuff, but that's honestly like...
It can be.
I find that like the best sessions I've had is when the story is very engaging. So there's a pivotal moment. The characters are having agency. They're making a big decision that they have to collaborate about. So... whether that's deciding someone's fate or planning a heist or something, that conversation between players. So I'll give you an example. Like, let's say we're planning a heist or something. Mm-hmm. The best sessions I've ever had is when the DM is just like silent and the players are just they're just sparking their own thing and they're talking about all the possibilities and like, oh, you know, there might be a trap here. We got to do this. And they're creating a plan or, oh, this guy might be betraying us and we could do this or whatever, blah, blah, blah. So those are kind of my favorites. Or there's like a big dramatic interaction between the party and the NPCs. Like things are getting heated. There's a lot of emotion. And there's like, I find that through the role playing, you can get really sucked into it. And those are kind of the most memorable sessions that I've had. On the flip side, it's probably like we get really off track. Like maybe there's a combat that takes way too long that can really, you know, bog you down, I guess. Or like maybe it gets like too silly sometimes. Like sometimes there's like, obviously there's going to be a lot of comedic effect in D&D because it's just you're hanging with the boys and that's part of it. But there's a point that I find where maybe, and I'm guilty of this too, right? Like you have couple of drinks and it's like you're just being a little silly and you get a little bit out of character and then things kind of snowball and it just gets weird.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, well, this should all be retconned because this is ridiculous. Like this should have never happened, but you know, sometimes it can compound.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And again, I've been like one of the most guilty people of that and it's tough sometimes, but
I mean that's my whole character is just it doesn't take things seriously even though my backstory is I should have been taking things seriously
and that can kind of take you out of it like don't get me wrong, I love that game where it was funny, but it's like
sure
you know we weren't maybe able to see the conclusion because it's like you kind of lose track of what's going on or like what the purpose is maybe.
I think one of the things that I really am going to try to stress with this campaign is the seriousness of it, which I don't think we've ever really done too much. And like, that's not to say you can't have comedy or kind of lightheartedness in a way, but given the situation, given the environment and different things like that, like it's supposed to be a little bit darker. So I think it'll be interesting to see how people react to that and how they kind of craft their characters around it. One of the things I really want to do this weekend is talk to each person kind of individually through Discord and really pick their brain on, okay, like, what are you thinking through? What are you trying to build as a character, as a personality and that sort of thing? But I really want to like stress the type of environment, the type of thing. It's like, you can do anything. And like Nate was saying, like, hey, I shared everything with you. You could turn off any books or races or classes that you don't want to use, etc. And I was like, no, keep it wide open, but you better have a reason on why. Oh, you want to be like a mermaid or a, you know, whatever, a Triton or something, that's fine. How are you here and why, you know, like what are you doing? So I think there's going to be some interesting conversations that we have and things like that, because I don't want it to be just you picked this race because it was the best for this class that you want to do spec wise.
Yeah.
that's fine, but then you better still have a backstory and a reason for doing it. That's all.
Yeah.
So cool. Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm going to send out. That's going to be kind of like a conversation starter. And I put a little asterisk on all of them where it's like, hey, elaborate, right? If you want, you know, if you really love story as your number one thing, explain why or explain what you're looking for and that sort of thing. So it's going to be a little open-ended, and I want everyone's like number or not number, but name, address, and email just so I can contact people.
Social security number?
We'll get there. I need to build some trust first. That might be like session 3 or something. Gotcha. You know?
Makes sense.
Yeah. So this will be interesting. The book's interesting so far. I feel like it's pretty straightforward. But it's, I will say, so fine, Graham, not super, super far into it, but it is a little bit more open than like Avernus or something like that. Like,
right.
Avernus was pretty like, if the characters do this, then you do this. If they refuse to do this, then you hit them with this. And it's like,
yeah.
This one's just, I don't know. It's a location called 10 Towns. There are 10 towns in it. Pick a starting one. Sure. One thing I am pretty, I do like is having people roll. I love just, okay, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. Yeah. Like have the dice kind of do it.
Yep.
So I think you're going to see an uptick in rolls probably with me. And I want to, and there's going to be a lot of rolling that people don't know what it is. And I think that's going to kind of allude to like, it's a harsh environment. Like, okay, roll, see what kind of you get. And I have some ideas, but I'm excited to kind of put them to the test and we'll see. And I talked with Harbin. He is very kind of maybe, maybe not type of thing, depending on like where we're at and stuff. So it might be like, oh, every time we're at like Dwayne's house, he'd show up or something. So I got to talk with him and kind of, I have an idea with his stuff to include him without making it like game breaking or something like that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say, two things that I like in my games, the personal things, are 20s and 1s are big.
Oh, yeah.
Big deal.
Yeah.
Some people are like, well, the rules state that, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean, like, no. Someone rolls a 20, we're finding a way that it happened. It might be very convoluted and creative.
Yep.
Or one, something, you know. So I love that. And then the other one is, like, when you level up, I'm big on how did we level up? Like, how did our characters grow? You have to put that in the narrative somehow.
There needs to be a link between, like, if you want to pick a certain level 3 class bonus faction, whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's fine. But like, for instance, like if I was like a barbarian and I wanted to be like a sea thunder god or whatever.
Right.
It's like, okay, well, you're nowhere near there. So how are you going to do that? Like, what's the point? Right. Like, you can do Blizzard, you can do like whatever, but like, you're not going to do Desert, right?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's part of it where it needs to make sense. So like, you could be whatever class you want, but keep in mind that whenever you're getting into those kind of subclasses and like whatever, like, you know, bonuses you get from them, you better figure that stuff out. The only other thing that I want to kind of figure out too is like the backgrounds. So I know that certain backgrounds are like, oh, well, this background gives me the best bonuses and the best whatever. It's like, that might be the only limitation that I might try to kind of impart is like, I want everyone to like roll. So we'll see what all their starting towns are. And then combined, you guys will pick a starting town to go to and I'll know all of that stuff. But there are going to be like, it's going to be very, very limited, like slight limitations on some of that stuff. But we'll talk through it and kind of figure out what works best.
Sounds good to me, man. Exciting.
Yeah, we'll see. 15th.
15th. Is it Wednesdays?
Wednesdays.
I have a couple baseball games on Wednesday.
Yeah.
I'll let you know. there's like two. But the problem is one of them is like the 29th, which is 2 weeks after your start date.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk about it. It's exciting. Should be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know you're excited about it, so.
I just want a creative outlet.
Yeah.
So
I remember when you ran Avernus. That was so fun. That was Brit.
It's hard. It was a hard game.
I'll never forget burning down the brothel.
That never existed in the game.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, when you were talking about, okay, like the book's white, like, dude, the book is like bare bones framework. Everything that I'm doing in the game that I'm running is like Like the structure's there, the environment's there, the towns, the history. Yep. So if they ask questions or find things, there's an easy outlet for me to, or resource for me to like identify what they find. Like, oh, this chest has this. I don't have to like make it up. But what's going on is like, and the most impactful stuff, nowhere. Like you got one of the characters finding people from his tribe down here. What's that about? There's a whole mystery element to that. You got someone turning into a were tiger.
Yep.
What's that about? You know, someone just lost their hand in a ritual to summon the thing. It's like, that's not good.
No, that's never good. Yeah.
So none of that's in the book. So it's like, that's my favorite stuff.
And I think that from a, just kind of fly by the seat of your pants thing, I think it's good. Like, I think,
but that's the most memorable stuff too. Like, no one in my game is talking about like, oh man, like the prison we were at in the start was so cool or whatever. And I'm sure if I was better at DMing, I could make it that way. But I don't know. I just find every time I play, it's the stuff that they create with me always the most memorable.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, we are going to have a thing of just like, you guys got to figure out why you're together, what you're doing, you know, like whatever it is.
Right.
There needs to be a, you are a group, you are together. Why are you together?
That book's nice because it's like, you're in prison, you got to escape, you got to get out of here. It's like, that's an easier thing. That's the easiest reason.
This
ever.
One's wide open, and the book is literally like, figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, why they're doing it. So it's like, that's fine. We can do that, but you guys need to figure that stuff out.
Yep. Yep.
So, we'll see how it goes. And,
exciting. I think you're gonna do a great job, dude. I know you put a lot of thought into it and a lot of creativity.
We'll see.
It's tough though. It's running a game. It's just
it's kind of nice though, because like each of the towns is like, you can probably do this in a session. Like each town is a session.
Okay. So like, so it's manageable.
So even like the first 10 sessions would be like, there's always kind of a North Star
new.
If you guys want it. If you don't, then it's fine. We can fly get out a higher chip our pants. Could
make it a sea adventure.
I mean, I'd then you just throw pick up the book away marsh. At that point.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, that's, we'll see.
That's funny.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a nice,
clean
90 minute episode.
Clean. That's our middle name here at the Couch Co.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Sure.
If you made it this far, we appreciate that. Check us out, couchcompany.games.
Yeah.
I posed it as a question. It wasn't, because it was correct.
Don't use the question mark.
No, don't. That would be bad.
I'll throw an error. Yeah.
Couchcompany.games, but you can omit the www.
Yeah, if you don't want
just
to.
Just the whole prefix in general.
Yeah.
Just put in couchcompany.games in your browser. It'll come up.
Yeah.
It knows what it means.
It might give you a little welcome thing. So we have an old timey picture of us painted.
Yeah.
It gives a little like, hey, we started this in a German pub.
True.
And then
we did.
You can subscribe, or you just hit, I'll subscribe later.
Yeah. They won't. They might.
You know.
Anyways, check us out there. Top fives, as Tyler alluded to. We have a bunch of top fives. And our game ratings.
Yeah.
And a couple reviews. More on the way.
More coming.
All right. So we will be here. Same time, same place next week. Thanks for joining us on the couch. Peace.